We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everybody, this is Curtis Patrick of RotoViz, and this is an emergency episode of the Dynasty Command Center podcast. I can't remember a season with so much quarterback turmoil. I mean, this is a year where you hope that you're just playing single QB Dynasty leagues. You know, we encourage super flex and branching out, but man, starting two quarterbacks, no fun. This year, we've lost Andrew Luck. We've lost Nick Foles. Now we've lost Drew Brees for what could amount to be upwards of half of the remainder of the season. And Ben Roethlisberger out for the year, needing elbow surgery. So in particular, with these last three injuries that we're dealing with, I want to just cut up each of these team situations, talk a little bit in organic fashion about what it means for the rest of the fantasy skill players and the offenses. And in the event that you are in quarterback starting lineup trouble, which one of the replacement quarterbacks is the best option for you? So let's start. We're a week late on this, but let's start with Gardner Minshew and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, this guy looks like he could be the king of swag. We've got the pictures circulating where he's, you know, dressed like some sort of late 70s disco coke lord. And I mean, this guy has balled out, highly accurate. His coach at Washington State, Mike Leach, obviously a huge fan. Really interesting journey to make it to the NFL, having made several stops in college. But he stepped right in and has been pretty impressive. I mean, he's second in the NFL in completion percentage through his two games. And from a fantasy perspective, ranked 16th among quarterbacks in PPR scoring, finishing as a quarterback two in both of his starts, and really not too far behind quarterback one status in his week two matchup against Houston, despite just throwing the one touchdown. I like what I've seen from Minshew so far. The Jaguars look like a team that's going to spread the ball around a little bit at the wide receiver position and make it a little bit difficult to know who to start. You know, we liked D.D. Westbrook a little bit on this podcast at the beginning of the year. D.J. Chark, the second-year former second-round pick, has looked pretty good through 2 weeks. So I think those guys can continue to produce just because Minshew putting the ball on target for them. I don't mind casting the die in his direction because, I mean, Nick Foles was a new quarterback anyway. And so in terms of how it was going to affect the rest of the guys in the offense, there was no really great way of projecting that for 2019. It was all speculation, right? I mean, we had some data on Nick Foles from previous stops. You know, he had been successful in some places, and there were other experiments that were less than successful. So Minshew's basically, you know, a relative unknown, and he's looked fairly solid so far. So probably was, you know, claimed immediately following week one in your super flex leagues. If for some reason he wasn't, sprint out there and drop a large amount of fab on him this week. And in your single quarterback league, you know, he probably deserves to be rostered. Really anything outside of, I mean, geez, anything 20 players or deeper in those formats, Minshew should be added at this point. You know, if he's going to be a mid to maybe even high quarterback two, ranking at QB 16 thus far in the year, deserves to be added. I mean, he's a realistic streamer at this point. Let's look using the RotoViz NFL stat explorer at what we can expect from the Jaguars in terms of the strength of schedule, particularly with opposing passing defenses. They opened the year with Kansas City and Houston, which looked to be a pair of plus matchups. Of course, Houston being a division game, so anything goes in those matchups. But a little tougher sledding for Minshew in weeks 3 and 4 coming up. He will face the Titans and the Broncos. And then he has kind of a trio of a fairly neutral matchups against Carolina, New Orleans, and Cincinnati. And then in weeks 8 and 9, before the team's buys, we're starting to get towards the fantasy playoffs, has a pair of what should be juicy matchups with the New York Jets and the rematch with the Texans. So really, we're looking at 5 out of his next 7 matchups not being too bad. So go out and get Gardner Minshew. You know, I do think the team will continue to depend on Leonard Fournette. They showed even in going for 2 and that critical point of the game against the Texans that he was the guy they wanted with the ball in his hands. And of course, he didn't convert. But I really don't think much changes for Fournette versus what we thought before the season. Okay, so let's hop over to a team, to a pair of teams with skill players that are much more heavily dependent on in all fantasy formats. And let's talk about the New Orleans Saints first. So Drew Brees, with this thumb injury, going to miss at least 6 weeks. And Teddy Bridgewater is finally getting his chance to show his worth. And, you know, of course, he hasn't started consistently since 2015, just having one spot start in 2017, and he appeared in 4 games in 2018. Teddy Bridgewater did not look good. Now, granted, you know, he didn't have the week to prepare, and they're on the road against the Rams and what was an emotional rematch from the 2018 playoffs. And so we get all of those things, and maybe he'll look a little different when they can game plan around his strengths. But, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is not Drew Brees. He's not even Drew Brees light. And, you know, I think we're going to see the volume that we want for Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. But I don't think we can expect the same type of efficiency or even touchdown scoring upside in an offense that's captained by Teddy Bridgewater. And so I think you do have to adjust expectations downward. I mean, Michael Thomas goes from basically being a lock mid wide receiver one with overall wide receiver one upside to probably being, you know, a mid wide receiver two with some weekly upside, depending on what type of game scripts the Saints are going to play in. And Alvin Kamara, I think, you know, his touchdown upside becomes capped too, and that's the concern. The touches were never the concern. I think he's going to continue to get, you know, the checkdowns and be involved in the receiving game, and the team will perhaps even rely on him more. So Teddy Bridgewater's not throwing the ball down the field, you know. But this is disappointing across the board for the Saints offense, at least for the next 6 weeks. So let's look at some of their matchups. They opened the year, of course, in that exciting game with the Texans. Went on the road and did not fare well against the Rams. They get a Seattle defense in week 3. This is a good week for them to get healthy and figure out what Bridgewater can do. I mean, Seattle gave up all of the fantasy points to the Cincinnati Bengals at home in week 1. And even in a game against the Steelers where Roethlisberger goes down. They give up a pair of touchdowns and some passing production to Mason Rudolph, who, you know, say what you want about Andy Dalton, but Mason Rudolph is no Andy Dalton, at least not at this point in his career. So, you know, week three looks okay. Then they've got a trio of neutral to slightly unfavorable matchups against Dallas, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville. Week seven, going to be brutal, facing off against the Chicago Bears. And then they will get to face the Arizona Cardinals, which is looks to be a team that will be good for any opponent. Week 9 brings the bye, and Week 10 looks like the target week that everyone is mentioning for Drew Brees to return. So, you know, with Minshew, we think he's going to get the rest of the season, and so that's why I say go spend some money to get him on your squad. Teddy Bridgewater, I'm fine ignoring him. And Dynasty, because, you know, we're talking about half a dozen starts, probably max. Even if things go awry, you're going to have to eat the bye. And then he's got basically neutral matchups for the rest of the season. And you're not starting Teddy Bridgewater in the fantasy playoffs in your Dynasty League. You're just not. So, if you need to spot start him in like a super flex league in week three, that's about as far as I would go. But beyond that, not a player we're really interested in terms of what to actually do. You know, we talked Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. What should you actually do with these players? I think they're buy targets. In particular, Michael Thomas, I think people will naturally worry, about what's going to happen there with the severe drop off at quarterback. And so, if he's owned by a competing team and you're maybe in, you know, mid rebuild and you can pivot off of somebody like a Davante Adams and get a couple years younger at the position, that is something that would be attractive, or even off of a player like Julio Jones, who looks to be, you know, in a spot to rake the rest of the year, and you want to cut off all of those years. Those types of deals could make sense. Kamara, I think people will want to wait and see, and honestly, you know, with him being basically a consensus top five dynasty value, not sure people will be panicking quite yet on Alvin Kamara. The satellite pieces in the Saints offense, you have to hate it for basically all of them. Latavius Murray, arrowed down. Traquan Smith, who was in a breakout spot for 2019, I think arrows down there as well. And Jared Cook, I think we all had high hopes for him as a cheap plug-in play just for this season. Has basically been a non-factor through 2 weeks, and in week one, maybe by design, and then in week two, you know, they actually tried to get him involved, and he just had a horrible game, catching just 2 of 7 targets. So that's my thoughts on the Saints. Now let's go where it really hurts, and where it really hurts is Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger going down in this offense that has been so key to so many fantasy titles over the last couple years, really the last half dozen years at this point, ever since Le'Veon Bell showed up in town. I mean, this is brutal. I mean, on this podcast, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster has been the wide receiver one from myself and Travis. We declared that earlier in the summer, and, you know, this doesn't necessarily change the dynasty outlook for him, but for 2019, you know, this ain't great. It's definitely not great. Some of the same concerns I had about the Saints players and their touchdown upside, you know, would be shared here in Pittsburgh, although this offense has honestly not looked great even with Ben in the lineup. And so I think I already had some of those questions about Juju's output for 2019 before Ben goes down. Now, similar to Gardner Minshew's situation, we don't really know what Mason Rudolph is. You know, we just there's nothing to go on here other than what he showed us coming in relief against Seattle. You know, he posted 11.2 fantasy points, seemed to have a lot of success down the right side of the field, 7 of 10 for 85 yards. Not so hot. Really actually didn't target much on the rest of the field. He was 3 of 6 in the middle and 2 of 3 down the left-hand side. Did not attempt any deep throws or really even intermediate throws anywhere except the right side. So I think we'll have to pay attention in week three, which receiver is being used over there. Will the team try to move Juju over there where Rudolph is comfortable, or was he just comfortable looking to his strong side because he doesn't get the reps during the week? Something definitely to watch. Vance McDonald had a nice game here, you know, I think that that could possibly continue. So a nice way to rescue his season. He had a pair of touchdowns in this game. James Washington is the player that's very interesting. Very interesting moving forward because, of course, Rudolph and Washington, college teammates. Could we see the return of the Oklahoma State pitch and catch down the field? And James Washington was doing battle with Dante Moncrief, who's looked just horrible. I think he's burned all of his chances in just 2 weeks. And, you know, the other competition there is Deontay Johnson, the rookie. But Rudolph's familiarity with James Washington is very key here. And so I think he becomes a nice asset, particularly in best ball dynasty, because of the big play capability. But if you own Washington and you were a little frustrated by his lack of involvement in week one, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised week three and moving forward. Now let's look at the matchup analysis using the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer for Mason Rudolph. Of course, the team just played Seattle in a high-scoring tight game. They're going to get a neutral matchup against San Francisco, followed by Cincinnati. Cincinnati has been, you know, kind to opposing offenses, and that's, you know, of course, a divisional game, though, so anything could happen. Man, week five, week six is just awful. Baltimore and the Chargers. Rudolph will basically be unstartable in those games. Then we get week seven bye, followed by a glorious spot against Miami. And the rest of the year ultimately evens out. Luckily, his next matchup against Baltimore, not until week 17, which of course is not impactful for fantasy purposes. In the fantasy playoffs, in week 16, he gets the New York Jets. So if Rudolph does look good over the course of the next handful of games and looks like he's going to be usable, does have a nice fantasy football playoff schedule. In week 14, he gets Arizona. So weeks 14 and 16, really nice for Rudolph. And, you know, but I'm hoping that he shows he can run this offense, you know, even at like 80% of what we've seen from Roethlisberger in the past. That would help us feel a lot better about Juju for those fantasy playoffs as well. James Conner is ouchy. And I think the team is going to need to have a committee approach moving forward. And I'm not sure the rushing game was going to have the upside it did last year or in previous years this season anyway. I mean, it really has just been a total failure to establish anything through 2 weeks. So James Conner owners, I would be a little worried. Would be a little worried there. If somebody wants to pay you 90 cents on the dollar for James Conner, thinking that they're getting, you know, a discount where he could, you know, bounce back, I would sell. I would definitely sell. So if you can get, you know, a future first plus for James Conner, that's great. If you want to pivot off of him for, you know, a player at the wide receiver position, I mean, basically anyone who's a wide receiver too, that's going to have, you know, that safe dynasty value for years to come, you know, the Brandon Cooks of the world, maybe you can move Conner and a little sauce for somebody like Stephon Diggs, who's had a really slow start this year. Those are the types of moves that I'm trying to make, even if I get to add a future second or something like that. Really like those pivots more so than just trading Conner for picks. So look for those running back needy teams in your league and see what you can do there. Beyond that, I'm not sure there's any other Pittsburgh Steelers to talk about that are directly impacted by the Mason Rudolph takeover. Big Ben, I guess let's talk about what it means for the injured quarterbacks moving forward. We've talked about their replacements. We've talked about the players that still got to go out there and play for us with the replacement quarterbacks. But what about Breeze and Roethlisberger and Foles moving forward? Breeze is in his 40s. You know, he's going to have this thumb repaired, hopefully, and come back. You know, do I think the team's going to have him sling it, you know, 40 times a game, even when he returns? Probably not. They got to ease him into it. You know, hopefully you feel good about starting him by the time you get around to your fantasy playoffs. And with Sean Payton signing that 5-year extension, I mean, they have to have at least talked about, you know, what's Breeze doing in 2020. And so I think Drew Breeze is going to play next year. I don't think, you know, unless he is physically unable to perform at a level that's satisfactory to him, I can't see Breeze retiring and going out after a year in which he misses, you know, like half the season. That's just not the competitor we've come to know. He's got this nice young core of offensive talent around him. The defense is in a spot where, you know, this is a playoff team. They were so close to the Super Bowl last year. I think he comes back. So, you know, it's not sky is falling for your Drew Brees shares. And if you wanted to try to buy him on the cheap for a 2020 run, you could try to do that. Super flex, probably not worth it. And single QB, hey, maybe you can go out there and move, you know, I don't know, a late future second or a pair of thirds. If somebody's just like, I'm cutting bait, you know, this guy's over the hill and I'm done. You can make those kind of moves. Ben Roethlisberger, it's a tough one. Of course, Ben has played chicken with retirement and all of us before. We think that we can chalk that up to him being a little bit of a prima donna. Hasn't done that in the last year or two, but it seemed like an annual tradition several years ago. You know, I don't know. This is an unfortunate injury. And, you know, you can see it with pitchers in baseball. You start having elbow problems in that throwing arm. This is a big deal. And the team seemed like they were concerned about it coming into the game. And so, you know, you hope that he has a successful surgery. And of course, this is happening so early in the 2019 season that, you know, he really gets an extra few months to rehab and not just next offseason. But yeah, man, I mean, throwing arm injuries to a quarterback are worrisome. So I don't know that Ben is necessarily like a trade target. I mean, it's probably, you know, he's on the downturn of his career and his super flex value anyway. I don't know that I go out and buy him unless somebody literally, you know, if somebody cuts him, you know, you can pick him up, stash him on your IR, do that in single QB leagues. No one's going to cut him in super flex, but I just don't like buying on spec here. Mason Rudolph gets so much of this season to play that if he does look decent, I mean, the team's going to have to start having difficult conversations. And so, you know, that's my stance on Roethlisberger. Nick Foles, you know, this honestly just stinks. You know, he finally gets that big contract, multi-year contract. If Minshew comes in and looks the part, you know, Foles is stuck in yet another situation where he's like, you know, the favorite backup in the league. I don't want to go by him either, just for the pure fact that his replacement's going to get to start the entirety of the season. And I'm not sure the Jacksonville offense was going to be a prolific passing attack anyway. You know, we just wanted certain pieces from it. So that's what I am doing with these three quarterbacks and all the players associated. You know, hopefully you like this emergency analysis from a dynasty perspective. We'll be cutting this up on RotoViz from the entire team. So look for our written content over at RotoViz.com. And I'm sure in our full episode this week, Travis and I will get more into the weeds with this on all of these teams.
If you have loved ones that rely on your income, you need life insurance. But finding the best quote shouldn't take a lifetime. With Policy Genius, you could save 50% or more by comparing quotes from America's top insurers. First, head to policygenius.com. In minutes, Policy Genius will compare prices starting at as little as $1 a day. You might even be eligible to fast-track your coverage with a no-exam policy. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team handles all the paperwork and red tape. If you have any questions, their team of licensed, independent experts is on hand to help. In fact, Policy Genius's award-winning service has a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Make today the day you cross life insurance off your list and get protection for your loved ones. You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes. To get covered, head to policygenius.com today.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.